Hello, everyone. How are we doing? Good. Very good. So this is my first time speaking here after a really long time. I spoke here a couple times. Yeah, it was a while ago. So today I am going to talk to you guys exactly what we were talking about while we were ministering during worship. I'm going to talk to you guys about burdens, and I'm going to talk to you about how the burdens can hold us back or hold us down from connecting with God. And it's something that's been on my heart really late. It's been on my heart lately a lot, and it's something that I've dealt with, keeping God as my number one when everything else was piling up on me. So I felt like I've always felt that God needed to be my number one. I don't know about you guys, but who feels like God is your number one? Number one priority. Like, you know, I have school, I have friends, I have everything, but God is still number one. And that's, I think, the most important thing in any of our lives. I keep pacing back and forth, I'm sorry. So, I'm going to start with a little story about things that happened in my life and how they've affected my experience with keeping God as number one and through all the busyness, trying to keep God the main focus of my life. A couple months ago, I was on the verge of graduating university, yet I didn't have a job. So I sat at home pretty much, sending resumes nonstop on the internet, begging and pleading with God, God, give me a job in my field. A field, I'm in accounting. I studied to be an accountant. Everyone's like, oh God, what's wrong with him? Yeah, no, exactly what you're thinking, that's my job. It's the most boring thing ever, but I get good money. That's all you have to do. So study hard, no. I studied 4 years in university to get a degree in accounting, and in April, I was on the verge of graduating. I was going to do summer school to graduate because I had a couple credits that I was late in, and I was sitting in summer school, and I started to think, I was like, wow, in 4 months, I won't have to be here anymore, but the question is, what am I going to be doing then? And so in this panicky motion, I started to realize that I didn't have a job, and I needed to go out and start searching for a job. And me finding my job is probably one of the biggest testimonies in my life. Jez, who's sitting in the back, said something to me in cell group one day where he said, I was literally desperate looking for a job. I was sending almost 5 or 6 resumes a day, so that's like 25 resumes a week. And I was so desperate, and I couldn't find a job, and I was freaking out. And Jez said, you know what? I prayed for a friend once, and I told that friend, that friend told me, I need a job with this date, this time, this salary. And Jez just spoke that into my life. He said, when you pray for your job, pray for exactly what you're looking for, and God will find it for you. And when Jez told me that, I went back home, and I was like, you know what? He's right, because I haven't taken this job to God. I keep telling God, God, give me this job. But I haven't really, you know, sat down. I haven't begged to God. I was like, God, you know what? Now I'm telling you with all my heart and with all my soul that everything that I've built up to this point, everything that I have, I'm doing it for this job, and you need to help me find this job because I spent 4 years of my life doing this. And if I just feel like I wasted 4 years of my life, what's the point of me doing all of it? And God gave me this amazing job. I went for an interview, and at the interview, I told them, I was totally honest with them about everything from my first interview, and they liked it, and they said, we need you to come back for a second interview. And going into the second interview, I went in with demands, pretty much. I went in saying, I need a week off to go to camp. I need to not work on weekends. I need you to know that I'm in summer school right now for 2 more months, and so that means I'm going to have to leave work early 3 or 4 days a week. And I went in with three demands, and I said, you know what, the CFO of the company, I was like, I need these 3 things. And after I said those 3 things, the person looked at me and they're like, okay, give me a second. And they got up and they walked out of the room. And I just stood there and I'm just like, oh God, I just lost my only job. Like, I just totally screwed myself over. And then the person walks back in and they said, we don't really care about the demands. If you need a week off, you can take the week off. If you need days to leave early, you can leave early. But we're giving you this job. And I was so happy. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And the job is amazing. I don't want to say was. It is amazing. I'm not fired. That's not where this story is going. Okay? I'm still in the job currently. Okay? The job is amazing. I love it. I love it to death because of what we do. My company is a mission, and so we go into the city and we clothe the homeless and we bring the people who don't have homes into houses. We work with, you know, like pimps and prostitutes, and we do everything to get the city of Toronto cleaned up. We do whatever it takes. And that's why my job for me, I think God put me in this place because I feel like it has so much value. Even though I'm doing accounting for all the workers that are doing all the frontline work, I feel like my job has value. But with this job came a burden. Because I was in school and I was working full time and I was running a youth network in Mississauga, for those of you who don't know, I run the youth in Mississauga, who are an amazing group of youth who are not all here today. I got a couple I can see. But I had three things on my plate, three huge burdens that I was trying to hold. I was trying to be a full-time worker, working 9 to 5, 5 days a week. I was trying to be in school, and I was trying to run a youth. And as this was happening, slowly I started to notice that my time with God, that God is my focus, was starting to be lost. I started to see God. I always talked to God, and I always spent time praying to God. When I was in the car, I would pray to God. But God was losing his focus in my life. School was becoming a priority. Work was freaking me out because I was on probation. I still am on probation. And I was just sitting at work, just working as hard as I possibly could, just so that I wouldn't be in fear of getting fired. For those of you who don't know, when you're on probation, they could fire you in an instant. You could walk in and walk out the same day. And so I was in fear. I was like, I need this job because I worked so hard for this career. I can't lose it in a matter of a couple of months. And on top of that, I was running the youth network, and I loved the youth. I loved the youth at Mississauga. I loved working with. What am I saying I loved? I got to stop talking in past tense. I love you guys, okay? Yeah, I love you too, man. Yeah. And it's like, I love doing all of these things, but at the same time, I was so stressed. I was so burdened. I was so heavy. Everything of the world was just weighing me down. Like, if anything, I was a runner. Everyone else was way ahead of me, but I had all these things on my back, and I couldn't run the race because of these burdens. And who knows what I'm talking about? Who knows what I mean when you say burdens? Because you know what? There's so many things that hold us back. You guys are back in school now. You know, you had an amazing summer vacation. For those of you who went to camp, you had an amazing time. But now you're back in school, and everything is back to normal. And so, as the burden started to pile up, I started to get even heavier in the heart, and God started becoming less real and real to me. God was always there. He gave me this amazing job, and I always thanked him, and he did amazing. I can think of so many testimonies in my life, countless testimonies, that I always gave thanks to God for. But at that time in my life, I was always, always busy, and I could feel I'd come home from work. I'd go to school, I'd go back home, and I could feel God being like, hey, what are you doing right now? Like that little nudge. Just like, hey, what are you doing right now? Come spend time with me. And I'd be like, oh God, do you know what I just did today? I worked 8 hours. I went to school. I went to the gym. It's like 8 o'clock at night. And now I'm sitting in my bed. I want to go to bed. Why would I don't have any energy to spend time with you. And God was like, okay, don't worry. And I could feel God whispering in my ear, yeah, don't worry, it's okay. And this kept happening. Every night I would come home and I would spend, you know, an hour and a half watching TV, and then I was about to go to bed, God would be like, what are you doing right now? Come on, spend time with me. Whoever gets that little nudge from God, yeah, I know you guys do. God wants to spend time with us, and that's the point where God was like, you know what, I'm really not spending time with you right now. And then, personally, things started to just pile up in my life, and I reached a point where I was going to explode. It was maybe couple weeks before camp, and I was about to explode inside. I was like, God, I have no energy left right now. I have nothing to force. Sorry. I have nothing to force me inside to do anything. I feel like quitting everything. And I sat down, and I finally said, God, I'm going to have some God time. And I sat down with God, and I said, God, everything right now is piling up on me, and I can't do anything. And I felt like I couldn't even hear God's voice when I was sitting down and praying with him. I felt like I was like just pushing and pushing and pushing myself. I was striving, but I wasn't hearing anything. But then I heard one verse, and I heard God gave me Luke, if you have your Bible, Luke 8:22. And I was like, okay. And so I opened up Luke 8:22, and I'm going to read it to you guys. And it's basically the story of when Jesus took his disciples out onto the water in a boat. And it said, from verse 22, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And then they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And as a windstorm came down on the lake, they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water. And they ceased and were calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands the winds and the water, and they obey him." So from that story, basically the disciples and Jesus took his disciples out onto a boat and said, "You know what? Let's cross over to the other side." And as they were crossing over, this huge storm came. And the disciples were in complete fear. They're like, "Oh no, oh no, we're going to sink. The water's filling into the boat. What am I going to do?" And so they said, "Let's go wake up Jesus." They woke up Jesus, and Jesus, imagine, what are you guys like when you wake up in the morning? I'm a horrible person. I hate daylight. I hate daylight. That's how I am. Just the sight of, just the fresh air in the morning makes me sick, like honestly. So I'm a night owl. I'm a night owl, guys. So I wake up in the morning, I'm a horrible person. Jesus is being woken up from his sleep. He's saying, "Oh my goodness, fine." He goes outside, I can just imagine, he waves his hands and everything becomes good. And he looks at them and he's just like, "Where's your faith?" And I was like, "God, why are you telling me this? What does this have anything to do with my life?" And he's saying, "This is you right now." He's saying, "You're in the storm and you're coming running to me now. You only come running to me when you're in the storm. When you're not in the storm, I don't really see you." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You talk to me and you pray to me and you spend time with me. Yeah, sure, once in a while. But now you're running to me and you're only running to me because you're in the storm. Because everything is piling on and now you're feeling burdened. Because you haven't made me your number one. That's the reason you're running to me now." And I sat there and I was like, "What?" And he's like, and Jesus just, I felt like God just like shrugged me. I was like, "What?" Just like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah. You know, he's just, that's what he told me." And he said, "You are not making me your number one priority. You've made everything else number one. And now that everything is caving in, now you want me to be your number one priority." The thing is, guys, at that moment, I realized, I was like, "God, I am never, never, never going to lose you as my number one priority. Because work will come, school will come and go. You know, everything of the world is going to, the world's going to throw everything at you guys. But if we make Jesus our number one priority, then how will it affect us? Because when I wasn't making him that number one, the world was winning. Let's put it that way. Everything was winning compared to me. I would go to work and I would be half awake. I would go to school. I wouldn't be paying attention to class. Honestly, guys, I was like on my computer or I was like sleeping or whatever. Like my classes, I didn't even know I was there half the time. And I wasn't giving my full to everything else because I felt like Jesus had been put on the back burner. Like God was put on the back burner. My spiritual life was just taking a beating. And before camp, I made a promise to myself. I said, "God, I'm so excited for camp, but not for the fun, not for the games, not for the teams, not for all of that. I'm excited and ready because I want to be spiritually boosted again. I want to spend a week away from everything, and I want to recapture what I had with you." And I realized when I made that vow, I was like, "God, I don't want it to just be camp. I want it to be right after camp. I want to come back." Because the thing is, we come back from, who went to camp? That was pathetic, guys. Really? That's your camp? Come on, John. Show them how it's done. Who went to camp? Camp was amazing, yes. Spiritually, it was unbelievable. You know, Jesus did amazing things. Chapel was my most favorite moment of camp. And we came back, and I told God, the second I walk back into work on Monday, it's not going to be 8 hours of work. It's going to be 8 hours of time with you. And that the rest of my life was now going to become me conversing with God like a best friend. Like how you text a best friend nonstop, that was me and God. And when I was in the car, I could talk to him. And when I was at work, I could talk to him. And when I was half awake, I could talk to him. Because that's what God had to be for me. Because that's what I wanted. I told God, "You are going to be my number one priority." But the reason I still was struggling with it because God hadn't pressed into the things that I was facing. because the things I was facing, I was holding on really tight. And that's when God told me, he's like, you are making me your number one priority, but if you want to make me that number one, you have to surrender everything that you're holding on to. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but as a male, I was just like, you know, I'm going to fix all the problems myself. I'm the man. I'm the man, you know? Woo! Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm the man. I'm going to fix these problems. And God was telling me, yeah, you want to make me your priority? Sure. But I want to take the good and I want to take the bad. I'm not going to just make everything good for you. You got to give me that bad. You're going to give me your burden and you got to make things right. Because he's like, if you want me to fix this for you, you need to let go of it. It's like you going to the mechanic, for those of you who have a car, telling them, hey, fix my car, but you're not giving them the keys to get into the car. How are they going to fix your car for you? That's exactly what it was like with God. I was giving him everything. I was like, yeah, take everything, go ahead, but I'm going to fix these myself. I'm going to hold on to them myself. They're my burden. And like a runner with weights on is like, I used to run as when I was younger, and I used to put weights on my legs because apparently it makes you faster. And it is the hardest thing ever. It is the hardest thing ever to run with weights on your legs. And you take off the weights and you feel like you're on a cloud. And you can run so fast. And that's what I was like. I was holding the burden on. And I finally told God, you know what, God? Okay, I'm going to be, forget the whole manly thing. It's all yours. You guys are all back in school. You guys spent an amazing week at camp. You guys had an amazing summer, for those of you who didn't go to camp. But you are now back in the same situation that God put, that you were in before you went away or before any of this summer. You are back in the same circumstances and everything. And now is when the busyness starts to pile on. Now is when the stress starts to come, all the fears, all the worries. You know, I used to go to school like freaked out because I'd be like, I need to get good grades if I want to go to university. And when I was in university, I was like, oh God, I need to get good grades. I can get a good job. It never ended with me. And so now I know what you guys are like. Thank God I'm out of the school. Like, have fun in school, guys, honestly. I don't know what to tell you. Do well, you know. But yeah, that's the place I was in. I was in this place where I was always fearful. I would write a test and I would say, oh my gosh, if I don't do well on that test, my whole future would start looking like it was like about to explode. Like I was going to be like a bum living on the street if I did bad on one test. Because I lived in fear. And I know sometimes we hold that fears. We hold those burdens with us. And we go to school and your friends have an impact on your life. School has an impact on your life. Teachers have an impact on your life. Everything burdens us, guys. But if we can keep God as our priority, if we can keep God as our number one, then those burdens don't seem so heavy anymore. Then God says, you give me your burden and I'll make your journey easier. There's an amazing verse in Matthew. It's Matthew 11, verse 27 or 28. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest with your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that. When I read that, it's so peaceful to the soul because I'm still going through things in my life. You guys are probably still going through things. But you need to choose to surrender those things to God. You need to choose to say, God, I'm not going to be that person who's going to hold on to it. If you're going to take the car, take the keys with it. See, because the disciples had Jesus in the boat. The fact that Jesus was in the boat, if I had Jesus in my boat, I'd be pretty happy. Like, it'd be... He's the captain and he's in control. And that's what he's in control of. He's in control of each one of your lives. So when you're going through the storm, when the burden is so heavy, what do you choose to do? If you feel like maybe you come into church and it's like, I can't worship on a Sunday morning, or I can't worship on a Friday, or you come into church and it's like, I can't pay attention right now because there's everything in my head. It's just clustering in my head and I just can't focus on anything. Maybe it's because you haven't chosen to surrender those things to God. And when you surrender, you're making him your number one. You're making him your priority. If you feel like that's you, I want you to stand up. If you feel like there's something I'm holding on to right now that I can't let go of, but if I let go of it, I know I'll be free. Leaders, I'm just going to let you guys walk around and pray for the youth who are standing. If you feel like that's you, and you really want God to be your priority, you want to surrender it all. I'm going to read that verse one more time, because I just feel like that's what God's telling me to do. He says, "Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, I just thank you for these youth, Daddy, these youth who just are ready to just break free of those things, to just give up that burden, that ball and chain that's just holding them back, Dad. Guys, as a spiritual act, lay that thing down that you feel. Only you know what it is. You don't have to share it. If you feel like speaking to a leader, speak to a leader. But spiritually, lay that down. It could be emotional, physical. It could be something with your family, financial. It could be anything. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. You don't have to be standing to do this. You can be sitting. That's totally fine. And I want you to hold your hands out. And I want you to imagine whatever it is you're carrying right now. You're carrying it with you right now. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And this thing that's in your hand is so heavy. It's weighing you down right now. And I want you to drop it like you're dropping bricks. And just drop it. And I want you to imagine now that God, just see in your mind that God is giving you his yoke, it says. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he's putting this along you. I just see like a robe being put along you guys. And this robe is, it's so light. It carries the markings of Jesus, but it's so light. And he's saying you guys are free to walk in that burden, or to walk in that freedom. To walk in the freedom that he has set out for you. He's saying don't carry that burden. He's saying every time you have a burden, just give it to me. Daddy, I just thank you, Father. Thank you for these youth and their... just choosing to walk in freedom, Dad. To walk in and just walk in the blessing that you have for them, Father. That the burdens that they're carrying, Father, whether they may be emotional, spiritual, physical, financial fears, family fears, whatever they may be, Daddy, you know. And as they're releasing them, Father, you are clothing them, Father, with a garment of freedom. So that you are their number one priority.
Yeah, Holy Spirit was just bringing the story of Job to my mind. And for those of you who don't know, Job was a man in the Bible who lost everything. And I'm not even exaggerating, he literally lost everything. But he, throughout everything that he went through, and even with some of his friends trying to tell him to turn his back on God, he still chose to trust God. He still chose to praise God. And as hard as it may be when we're going through hard things, like Sheldon was saying, as hard as it may be that when tough times come our way, I know from personal experience, it's never easy to turn to God and say thank you for what you're doing in my life or what you've done in my life. But how often do we do that when things are going good? Maybe when a blessing comes our way, we'll turn to him and say, thank you. But how often when we're going about daily life, do we just say, thank you for what I have? Thank you that I've got good parents. Thank you that I've got a house to live in. Thank you for what I have. And it's so much easier to go to God when times are good if we're doing it when times are bad, but we can't just be going to him when times are bad. That's not what a relationship is. It's a one-sided relationship where we say we need something. You can provide that.